Good day. Okay, sorry. Good day, LA. I am Zach Goldsmith alongside my co-pilot, Ben Belak, on this wild fucking ride we call life. Foreclosures are on the rise and have been for the entire first half of 2023. What does this mean? Does this indicate a market shift? Time to get excited for opportunities? Should we feel bad for people losing their homes? All of the above. Of course we should. Income for U.S. workers remained below their pre-pandy highs as elevated costs for goods and services linger. As the cost of living in the U.S. continues to climb, foreclosures are also on the rise. Does it mean you are going to lose your home? Doesn't have to. Will it mean you can buy a $1 million house for $600K? No. We'll tell you what it means. We'll tell you what it may bring.
On the next episode of Banking Life.
That's a hot show. Should we all get excited about the prospect of foreclosures? Fuck no, you inconsiderate bastards.
Okay, but calm you're starting down, to get excited Zach, what at someone else's is pain. Saying Dick. Is there indeed has been a significant rise in foreclosures so far this year? Adam, a leading curator of land, property, and real estate, has just released its 2023 U.S. foreclosure market report for the first half of the year, which shows there were a total of 185,000 U.S. properties with foreclosure filings this year.
Well, I think note, foreclosure filings can include default notices, scheduled auctions, and bank repossessions.
Correct, as Mauricio says. That is up 13% from a year ago. The greatest number of foreclosures, however, are in Florida, Texas, and our state, California. In states that had the greatest number of foreclosure starts in Q1 2023, California led the way with almost 7,000. Texas was next with just over 6,000, followed by Florida, New York, and Illinois, each with around 5,000 foreclosure starts each.
Okay, well, let's go to cities now. As far as cities go, New York led the way with over 1,700 foreclosure starts. Nice job, New York.
Great work, you guys.
New York, New York, what a wonderful town.
Hurry up.
Where foreclosures are up and income is down, apparently. Next was Chicago with just under 1,200, followed by Miami with 850 foreclosure starts, and then our very own City of Angels with over 800 foreclosure starts in Q1. A foreclosure start is when you're behind on payments and they start the foreclosure process, which usually begins with a notice of default known as an NOD, N-O-D.
All right, stop, dude. Seriously. But also that's got to be everyone's favorite piece of mail. Honey, the NOD's here.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can finally get divorced.
Foreclosure completion numbers increased 38% from last month. That includes REOs, which are real estate owned. That's the bank owns it, which is property that has gone in foreclosure and didn't sell during auction. If the foreclosed home doesn't sell, the ownership defaults to the original bank. Lenders repossessed 4,000 U.S. properties through completed foreclosures in May of 2023, up 38% from last month.
Oh.
And up 41% from last year.
Ooh.
We're painting a very scary picture here. I hope this episode that you wrote so far is going to put things in perspective shortly, because I have an opinion on all this doomsday news.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
it. It's out of context, this news. It's out of context. Let's keep going.
What are you doing?
I'm going off script, baby.
You're so upset, huh? When you can't write something.
Because it is. It is. I'm very upset. But the truth is, we've given no context so far to this. But let's continue. Break it down, Zach.
Of course we have. We're giving an update on the foreclosure status, which is on the rise.
I feel like the bottom feeders really love this episode so far. They're like the foreclosures.
Whoa.
I've been waiting for my little foreclosures. I'm going to take your house away from you.
I've been waiting. Get out of your house. It's mine now.
I would love to cut this short if we can.
Guys, thanks for tuning in for another episode of Super BA.
There will be opportunities, yes, not only to take advantage of a foreclosure that someone is unfortunately losing, but mm-hmm. we're going to share opportunities of how you can save yourself.
Wait, from hold on. Just break down the foreclosure process.
I'll break down the foreclosure process. Okay. A home is considered to be in foreclosure or officially in default after a mortgage payment is missed, usually 90 days after payments are missed, depending on the state, right? Mm-hmm. Once that period is hit, they will issue a notice of
default, hurry
up. Default, mm-hmm. which indicates the beginning of the foreclosure process, approximately 30 to 90 days after that, if it's not cured.
Meaning brought up to current.
Correct, which means not just the payments, fees and all that associated with it. Then, if that's not done, they will issue an NOT, Notice of Trust Sale. Mm-hmm. That's not good. That's where you get a court date to sell your house on the court steps. Now, each state is very different in how they proceed. If you find yourself mm-hmm. in this unfortunate situation, there are ways to cure it. We're going to do our best to address those.
Okay,
shortly.
So this upward trajectory suggests the possibility of continued heightened activity. And with foreclosure completion seeing the largest monthly increase this year, what does this mean and how will it impact the housing market overall?
Ooh, me.
I'll give you my answer. We don't know.
No, I
yet.
Know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'll tell you what we do know.
Mm-hmm.
Although foreclosure activity remains below historical norms, the very notable surge in foreclosure starts indicates that we may continue to see a rise in foreclosure activity in the coming years.
Nah, who gives a shit?
But what is going on with you? You
I drank a this? Very strong espresso before this. I'm very fired up. I'm down to improvise, but like, the truth is, you want me to wait till the end to give my opinion? Let's do it. So they'll stay, keep watching.
I don't think they did anymore. What?
Okay, first,
what is
first
the cause
the pandy?
Of this sudden spike in foreclosures?
Okay,
let's address that.
Okay, the main reason we're seeing foreclosures on the rise is because the COVID moratoriums were lifted a while ago, and a lot of those people who sought relief have still not paid their mortgages, forcing the banks to take action.
That's exactly
Let me say
right.
what that means really quick, all right? Many people during the pandy were offered the chance to take forbearance, which means you can pay your mortgage later without penalty or the threat of foreclosure.
Correct. You kick the can down the road, essentially.
However, as we've reported on this show, which my ADD-ridden co-host does not remember, many of the people that took, applied, and were approved for forbearance never made late payments. They actually paid on time.
Maybe so, but there are a lot of people who didn't pay on time and they are still not paying, and those payments are due. Forbearance programs caused homeowners and banks to essentially kick the can down the road. That's done. Now those people who are still not making payments, combine that with mm-hmm. ongoing economic challenges, a rise in unemployment, persistent inflation, you're going to continue to see a huge spike in foreclosures.
That is a big position from Zachary J, you guys. He just, we're going to go back to this. Zach is reporting that there we're going to continue to see a big spike in foreclosures.
We are. And wait until the 2% and 3% mortgages come to an end and surge to 6%, 7%, 8%.
Stop. That most of the people that took 3% when they refied, it was for 30-year fixed.
No, buddy. A lot took 10%. A lot took 10 years. A lot took 7 years. Some took 5 years.
But why would they, when they refied during the pandy, if they could get it at 30?
A lot of people weren't offered 30s. A lot of people got rates that were 5, 7, 10 years. Those are going to come to an end in a few years.
Okay.
You're
going
to see a huge spike.
All right, let's keep going. I'll stop interrupting.
My words.
All right.
Will you though?
Yeah.
I don't think you will.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So look, Ben doesn't care about you. I do. If you find yourself on the bad end of that stick, there are solutions. First, there's a federal program you should know about called the Homeowners Assistance Funds. A lot of people can take advantage of this. You have to qualify for it. But if you do, they will pay all of your past payments and get you current so you can keep your house. You have to qualify. Check out their website, homeownersassistancefund.com.org.gov, whatever it is, you'll find it. But either way, that's a real program that has helped a lot of people over the years.
A lot of people. There are other programs like a short-term bailout foreclosure, which you also have to qualify for, where a company will come in and pay the backdated payments, make you current. They'll take over the loan in first position over the bank, and you'll pay them a higher monthly premium taken from and only if you have equity in the home.
Yeah, because you can't qualify for that. No one's going to give you money if you don't have equity in it, right? You'll pay, but someone will come in and give you.
Doesn't make sense to me, because if you can't pay your bank, why are you going to now be able to pay the short-term bailout number that's higher?
Because, and we're talking about a hard money lender that comes in at like, say, 8%. Mm-hmm. Why? How could you pay 8% if you can't pay 4%? Mm-hmm. So you can only do that if you have equity in your home. So what they'll do is they'll buy the first. They'll take a HELOC or a line of credit. A lot of people can't
go to Vegas and bet it all on red.
No, no, no. The company will come in. If you have equity in your house, they will. A company will come in. Investors will come in, and you'll pay them a lot higher rate. Mm-hmm. The only way you can pay them a higher rate is because they pull the equity out of your house. So mm-hmm. that only works if you have equity in your house.
Okay, cool. I don't get it, why anyone would do that. They're like, it doesn't make sense, but we'll talk about that after this. Let's continue.
Which part doesn't make sense?
Okay, so, well, I just don't know why. It's like, okay, I understand I have equity, but if I can't make my payment, the bank's going to take it back, right? Because the bank has the majority of the equity because they paid 80%. I only put 20% down. Now I'm going to move to a hard money lender, pay a higher payment because the interest rate is significantly higher. And then they're going to move to first position, but then they're going to take money out of and then do what with it?
That's what they're going to use to pay the difference. That's how they're going to pay that 8%. So in other words, let me clarify this. Mm-hmm. If you cannot afford your payments at 4%, mm-hmm. instead of foreclosing, Ben, as an investor, comes in and says, mm-hmm. I will give you the money. I will pay off the first. You will pay me 8%. You will say, how could I pay you 8% if I can't even pay 4%? Well, you have $400,000 in equity in your property. Once I pay off that loan, I'm going to pull that equity out and use that for the monthly payments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those people, you'd say, why don't I do that myself and get a HELOC or get a line of credit against my house myself?
Because the bank won't give it to you since you're in default.
That's right. You're in default. Your credit's bad.
Yeah, that I got.
You may not have a job.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
That's a method.
It sounds like a loan shark to me, like Rocky's early job in Rocky One. He's like, I got a plan for you. Right?
I mean, it's a business. It's people are doing it. I'll tell you a fun fact in a minute about people who have been foreclosed on who've turned into those people, but keep going. We'll get to
that
later.
Now, for the people that can't be saved, there are opportunities in the pipeline to start tracking. For real estate agents, you can watch the notices of default. They're public information. In fact, I'm pretty sure if you can run searches on Zillow for homes that are in the what they categorize as the pre-foreclosure status. So you can go there. You can prospect to those houses, see if maybe they'd be interested in listing prior to a worst case scenario. They're likely going to be in an emotional state, and it may not be easy, but it is something, and it does unlock inventory. And we still have historic demand, believe it or not. So that's one thing that you can do as an agent.
Well, that saves them also from going into foreclosure, right? Because mm-hmm. they may have equity in their property. They can't make the payments. So you're going to be here to save the day.
Sure.
That's when you get them to move to another home or an apartment instead of losing this one. Well, it's a downgrade in life temporarily, but it's better than
take
losing
this apartment.
Your shit. It could be a nice 6%. Luxury apartment.
Understand.
Look, if these people, they will undoubtedly argue this, they will want to keep their house. Emotionally, people don't want to lose their houses. Of course, they will incur tons of fees that far exceed the mortgage payments they can't pay through attorney's fees and fees that and charges that accrue over the time you're trying to fight this. It's better for your credit. Rebuild. Give it to an agent who will sell it, take the equity, and move on. Bad period. you'll move on and grow from it.
Yeah, because a foreclosure really does a lot to your credit. And, I think what Zach is saying, maybe you take one on the chin just to protect your credit. And then maybe you come back when you're ready instead of taking the foreclosure and then having the having that on your credit record, which is not good.
That is correct. That is really bad. And you'll also have people, if you don't go to an agent to solve this and pull out safely, you will have people like Ben, sharks, come to you and try and buy your house out of the foreclosure process for 1.5. And it's worth two.
Why not give it to an agent and sell it? Why do you always interject on this show like I'm scum when it comes to being a salesperson? Like you'll always be like Ben. Even from the very beginning when we started this podcast, you'd be like, so-and-so will, or like we give a certain level of service unlike Ben. Or like, I feel like you do whatever you can to like schlockify people's perception of my business practice, which is actually like way on the up and up.
I'm actually just what I do there is I just give the listeners what they want. They're looking at good cop, bad cop. They see you as the bad cop. So I'm just feeding into that for our listeners.
No, I think they see me as smart cop and you as dumb, dumb cop.
I don't think so. I think they look at you as jackass retard cop.
Hey, you can't say that word.
Jackass numbnuts cop. And me as the actual good guy. They look at you as like, who's this douchebag strongbag guy? All
right, let's get focused here. You keep tangenting.
I know.
As far as opportunities for buyers.
Did you eat today?
No, just coffee, bruh. Everyone's tuning in to hear what we think is going to happen in our market. In fact, we will have used a clickbaity thumbnail to get them to watch something along the lines of foreclosures are up 35% or California's leading foreclosures. That's what we're going to do. And I think that it's important to give context because the truth of the matter is, I think we need to talk about what people are tuned in for, which is our opinion. And number one, we don't have anywhere near the foreclosure levels of 2008. Nowhere near it. Not even in the same solar system.
Different world altogether then.
And for those of you that are still looking for a deal, if we were to double the current amount of foreclosures that we're experiencing right now, let's double Zach's spike, we still would be in a normal market. After 2008, the federal government, through the secondary market, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, made it real difficult through those loan restrictions for the originating lender. They made it really tough. So the thing is so many people in this country either A, have a ton of equity from this last surge, or B, they were forced to put so much down. So I just don't see how this has a meaningful impact on our national or local market.
Okay. Is no food turns you all of a sudden into Steve Carell from 40-Year-Old Virgin? You just have this level of confidence and arrogance and dickishness all of a sudden on this podcast. Like, here's the facts,
people. I feel like I've been watching other podcasts, and what I realize is when you watch these guys on like ESPN who also have like radio shows, they'll come in like Rich Eisen and they'll do a real long, drawn out opinion on why Michael Jordan is better than LeBron James.
Oh my God.
So I've been slowing down a bit on this thing, but okay. This is how I would
Stephen
speak
A.
normally.
Smith this week. Huh?
Yeah. So I just, I'm trying to take my time.
This is not how you speak normally, but it's fine.
But we've reported a lot of facts, a lot of statistics, but at the end of the day, it's our job to synthesize those for our clients, for the consumers, and for the agents that watch us and look up to us. We'll look up to you, not me, as you would kindly say. So I'm just saying that our market remains healthy. It remains healthy despite this tick up in foreclosures. It's normal.
I don't say that it's abnormal. But there is a rise in unemployment. There is a cost of inflation that is mm-hmm. through the roof that people can't handle. In our city in particular, mm-hmm. it's leading the way in foreclosures right now. We haven't seen the worst of it, in my opinion. There is a huge writer's strike and actor's strike that is affecting our local market. It's not just writers, it's directors, it's prop houses, it's everyone behind the scenes. This whole city is being affected. Those people will start losing their houses. There is worse stuff out there than you think on the horizon. I agree that foreclosure levels consistently remain upwards of these levels, but they are higher than normal right now. And I think we haven't seen the worst of it. I think we're going to see more foreclosures. I think we're going to see more people losing their houses. And I think we're going to see more people taking advantage in the coming years. Won't be 2008 levels, not even close.
I'm with you, but enough to create enough supply to have it make a dent on demand. High interest rates haven't done it yet. Yes, things have cooled, sure. But we were 90 miles per hour white knuckle down the freeway. Now we're cruising at 65. We're cruising. What I wonder is through the stuff that we track, and we'll report on this by the end of the year because we're starting to see it, and then we can wrap up this episode, is that by increasing interest rates, aside from its effect on mortgage rates, what it does is it forces companies to have less cash through lines of credit. So now what they're doing is they're laying off all these employees. I heard someone on the golf course the other day say it was laying off 200 employees. So what happens is now we have a lot of people in the job market. And then those people, because of demand high, lower supply, they're now taking on less pay. They're forced to, because they have no choice. So the question is if they take on less pay at scale, is that going to bring down home prices because less people can afford and get approved because their debt to income ratio, the income is now down? That's really what I wonder is, will it be joblessness and new jobs that actually makes an adjustment? Because what we've learned all year round is that these high interest rates have just flattened pricing.
They have until now. And I don't know if it's summer. I don't know if it's the writer's strike, but there are other factors. And I think buyers are finally saying right now, enough is enough. I'm not paying $5 million for this house. I'll offer you $4.2 million, and that's the most I'm going to pay. And sellers are forced to sit and wait. I think we're seeing a dip in prices and a correction. I don't think it's a loss. I think it's more of a correction.
Okay. It's going to be really interesting to see. It's been fun to report on all year because like everyone out there is like, it's going to happen. It's happening. It's happening now. And then
there's a surge and then the market's on fire again. And just, then it comes down. Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of factors contributing to a lot of things.
So something we're going to be
definitely taking a hit. Foreclosures are definitely up across the board. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah. So, I'm glad we're reporting on this. It's an important part of the housing market and our economy, but I think it's important for us to give some context. Hope you guys enjoyed this information-packed market update. We're going to keep watching this rise in foreclosures, and we'll report on it again. So make sure you continue to tune in to these episodes and the episodes where we bring in our real estate rock stars, our disruptors, and our soon series on interior design. I am at Ben Belak, seated next to at Zach Goldsmith 24. This has been another episode of To Live and Buy in Los Angeles.
I was going to call you Shula Shane.
You can't just end it.
I don't get the anger today, but you know what? We're going to feed him and tune in to see what happens next. Super bien.